Hello, everyone. This is Matthew Fraley with BreakpointTrades.com. First off, hope everyone had a nice weekend. It's Sunday morning, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time on July 18th, 2021. And this is the comprehensive weekend newsletter from Breakpoint Trades. Again, hope everyone's had a nice weekend so far. An administration comment, Steve Nelson, he's been out of town seeing his parents. He'll be back on July 21st, but you know he'll only be back in body. I'm sure it'll take him a day or two to acclimate and you know get back into the swing of things for the market. So you know, just heads up on that. As far as this newsletter, you can see divided into 10 sections in the table of contents. We got 126 charts here, so a lot of things to discuss. This is the weekend. That's the time when, you know, we take a little extra time to look at everything in depth. If you happen to be new here, these newsletters are audio-based. I discuss each chart and item below in a top-down fashion. I reference a number on the upper left-hand side so you don't get lost. There's also a new player where that enables you to skip around. But if you're new, I suggest listening to the whole thing. The audio newsletters here usually take about 40 to 50 minutes for the weekend newsletters, okay? For the intra-week, it's usually about 20 minutes. They're much shorter. All right, guys. So again, most of my thoughts on the market are going to be in the audio. This is an audio newsletter. I did put some comments below on my observations, all right? So, you know, kind of like I've been saying for the last couple of weeks, we put out trade ideas nightly. And I have various scans, and there's been a drought of long ideas, good objective long ideas. I've been talking about that, especially for the last week, all right? And that's been telling. You could see the market finally started weakening late last week, especially on Friday. You know, whenever our long scans are not spitting anything back, that always makes me concerned. The other thing that's really been bothering me, we've been talking about it, is you know, the negative breadth, the glaring divergences on the various indicators, you know, the S&P 500, for example, it was hitting new all-time highs and barely 50% of the stocks were above their respective 50-day moving averages. There's various other divergences and indicators. Tom McClellan, he's well-known. You should know him. We use some of our indicators here, like his McClellan oscillators. He's on the verge of swinging bearish. We're seeing increased inflation. We're also seeing renewed rising COVID variants and possible lockdowns. Hopefully that doesn't start to snowball again. We're all tired of that. I know we enjoy our freedom, so we don't want to go back in the lockdown mode, but you know, that's starting to rear its ugly head again. So there's a lot of things here, you know, the market's tired too. So there's a lot of things here that could drive the market down. Now, the positive here is that we're in earnings season. The next couple of weeks, we have a lot of big names reporting. All these FANG stocks like Apple, Google, Facebook, Netflix, Amazon, you know, Tesla. It's not a FANG stock, but you know, well-known, Microsoft, whatever. We got a lot of big names reporting. The market usually holds up in earnings season, so we'll see if that's the case. If it wasn't for earnings season, I think the market would be in trouble right now, okay? But with earnings season, maybe the market will hold up. So we're going to just have to see what it does here. You know, if the market just kind of drifts along over the next couple of weeks, it doesn't have a strong positive reaction to earnings, but more of a sideways weak bounce, then I think the market's set up for a big sell-off after earnings, okay? Now, if the market strongly rallies and breadth comes back, then these divergences could be negated, okay? But for now, I'm cautious, and again, we'll see how the market reacts this week. So let's go ahead and get started here with the newsletter. So the first image below, item number two, this image, large image, there's four charts on here. These are our SPY systems. We have 22 of these subsystems. 21 of them are reversion to mean. If you know what that means, look it up. But basically, if a market is uptrending or downtrending, so let's say it's uptrending, you know, it gets extended and then you get pullbacks in that uptrend. Pullbacks are generally buying opportunities. So most of the longs are buying pullbacks and uptrends. Most of the shorts are selling rallies and downtrends. There hasn't been any, none of our systems have issued any shorts for quite a long time here. You could see the reason I have four charts is because I have all these 21 subsystems spread across these four charts. Okay. And long story short, one of our subsystems has been long here for a couple weeks, the breakout trade. You could see it on the upper left where I have 10 of the subsystems on here. We're still in that position. Now, we did take half the position off. We were able to lock in our option. Whenever these systems take a trade, we buy ETF and SPY call options for longs, put options for shorts. So we took off the call option for a very nice profit, 25% gain. We still have the ETF, and we have a stop right around where you see that trend line there. So we'll see if that stops it or if we get a rally up this week with earnings. Okay. The breakout subsystem is the one system that is not reversion to mean. As its name suggests, it buys breakout overbought conditions. Okay. You know, you could see actually one of the past breakout trades there that occurred in late March. You see that? It bought the new high there, and you could see it had two scale outs. All right. Again, if you happen to be new here or you're getting this newsletter free, whenever these systems do a trade, I send out a trade notification email. So I alert you when the systems are going to enter, when they're going to exit, so you can simply follow along. Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and move on to the rest of the newsletter. So item number three below shows the index sector table, what transpired on Friday and what transpired for the week. Friday, as you can see, was a pretty broad-based sell-off for the major indexes and from most of the sectors. And for the week, it was a down week as well, especially for the Russell 2000. You know, again, in my opening comments above, I discuss how, you know, all these divergences and worrying signs, but like on the S&P and Dow and NASDAQ, they've barely had any pullback. You know, the S&P and NASDAQ are still above their 20-day moving averages. The Dow's only had one pullback off of its high. It's the Russell that's been leading. It's well below its 50-day moving average and not too far away from its 200-day moving average, which is probably a target. But you can see on the weekly, the Russell's down 5% for the week. That's a big loss. The Dow is only down 0.5%. The S&P down about 1%. The NASDAQ down about 1.9%. For the major market sectors, looking at the weekly, most of the sectors were down except for three of them, which were utilities. Not surprising. That tends to be a safe haven, real estate, and consumer staples. You know, defensive sectors, especially those two. The biggest losses last week were in the energy. Oil services down 11.36%. That's a massive loss. XLE Energy down 7.9%. Now, those sectors are getting quite oversold. Would not surprise me to see some sort of bounce sometime soon. I know some of the big oil stocks are reporting late July, such as ExxonMobil, for example, and Chevron. Semiconductor down 4%. Transports, banks, down about 2.5%, financials. So weak, definitely, you can see under the surface here, a lot of these sectors really got nailed. Currencies, US dollar, rallying a bit, up 0.65%. Cryptocurrencies, nicely negative for the week. Bitcoin down 7%. See, Bitcoin Cash down almost 11%. Again, that area, after that big sell-off in May, has been, you know, in this, you know, sideways consolidation. The hope for the bulls here is it's going to form some kind of base, but the 29,000 is a big area for that, 28,000. If it were to lose that, you could, you know, sell down to the 20,000 area quite easily. You know, there's talk now, you know, as you know, China's been going after it, India. You know, the U.S., the Fed is talking about taking the U.S. dollar digital. So, you know, there's a lot of headwinds there. Again, there's useful technology like blockchain, et cetera, but there's a lot of other problems with Bitcoin, you know, and these cryptos. Commodities, let's move to that. Crude oil down 4%. Otherwise, you know, I'll get to precious metals in a minute. The other commodities held up fairly well. copper down 0.5%, but the ags are what really stood out last week. DBA agriculture up 3.7%, corn up 6.7%, wheat up 12.6%, coffee up 7%, big moves there. Precious metals, gold eked out a tiny gain, 0.12%, but silver down 1.75%. GDX, the miners, down 1.3%. That area looks weak again. You know, the stocks are underperforming in bonds. High yield corporate down with the market. TLT up. Next, item number 4 shows the economic news calendar for this week. You can see much lighter news week. And again, market's going to be mostly focused on these earnings and maybe some, you know, COVID stuff if that starts to accelerate. Let's hope not. All right, let's go ahead and move on to the charts. First chart below, item number 5. This chart shows you the percentage of stocks in the S&P 500 that are above their 50-day moving average. So you can see, you know, the S&P, again, it was down on Friday, but it's still uptrending. It's still well above its 20-day moving average, and only 48% of the stocks are above their 50-day moving average. So again, we've had negative breath here, and you can see the divergence. I'll get into more indicators when we get to that below, but just wanted to show that. Next, let's go ahead and move on to the indexes. So chart number 6, here's a weekly view of the 5 key major indexes of the Dow. At the top, you can see just barely off the highs. You know, last week it tested the April highs, pulled back from that. Bearish view is you have a double top. The S&P just barely off its highs. You can see just a little small black candle there. The S&P down a little bit, but again, it's got support. I mean, the NASDAQ. Now the Russell at the very bottom, that's been the weakest, it's testing this trend line. Breaking below that could have another leg down. Next, chart 7, here's the daily view of the indexes. Again, you can see the Dow at the top. You know, again, it's barely off of its highs. The S&P got that long uptrend line below. We're still well above that and above the 20-day. The Russell at the bottom, been downtrending for quite a while here. Next, let's move into the individual mark indexes. So here's the Dow, like I said, just off those April or early May highs. So, you know, it's still well above its 9, or it just closed above its below its 90 EMA on Friday, but look, it's well above its 20 and 50 day moving averages, which are just below. Remember, the Dow is only 30 stocks. We don't put that much credence into it. Let's go ahead and move on to the S&P 500 charts. So chart 9, here's a monthly view. Again, you can just see, first off, you can see the small monthly candle. It's going to be interesting to see how this month closes. You know, we got a, still got a couple weeks here. If we don't have a big positive reaction with earnings and we were to close, say, even down from right now, and this were to become a doji candlestick, that would be bearish potentially for August. So we'll see how that closes. Of course, hell of a rally from that big sell-off we had in March 2020, which was a big buying opportunity. I mean, just a straight-up move since then. Next, chart 10, here's another monthly view, zoomed out, of course. Again, so far, S&P kind of struggling up at this upper channel line, parallel channel line. You could see, of course, the mammoth move we've had off those 2009 lows. Next, chart 11, here's the weekly view. Again, you can see the big, the massive rally, basically doubling in price we've had since the late March 2020 lows with the COVID. The green horizontal lines represent the higher lows we've continued to make. On the weekly, we do have MACD and RSI divergence to be aware of. Okay, so we'll see how the market reacts to earnings. It could definitely use a rest for sure. You know, sometimes you get that in the fall. We'll see if that ends up happening or not. But we do have divergences developing. Next, chart 12, moving to the KISS chart. So this image shows you 4 weekly charts of the major indexes via the KISS systems. So these weekly DVT KISS systems, you know, they've done pretty well by keeping in the uptrend. Again, we've had a strong uptrend, so you know, it's pretty easy as well, but you can see all the DVTs, none of them have been hit. And you can see where they are, the S&P 40, 60, apparently, roughly 325 on the triple Qs. The IWM down there around 200. and et cetera. So these have done a pretty good job. Again, guys, for the KISS systems, KISS, I call them the KISS, let's call it the KISS methodology. You know, these are useful for perhaps as a tool to help manage 401k longer term positions. As a trader, as an investor, you have to decide which one of these works for you. Remember, these are a guide, an idea, maybe if you want some sort of stop out. You know, these weeklies are, you know, perhaps more interesting to, you know, some longer term folks who really don't have time to manage the markets. You know, you could see, you know, they may only exit once every 1 or 2 years. You know, if you want something more dynamic, you could look at a daily or a 2 day KISS. The 2 day would be in between, which I'll get to, but you have to just, or you could do a combination. You have to decide how to use these tools on yourself. Okay. But they are very powerful and useful tools, something that is unique to Breakpoint Trades. Next, chart 13. Here's the 2 day KISS for the S&P. Again, a little wider than the weekly, 42.30 approximately is the DVT here. Okay. I also have the weekly ATR in this chart, that thick ATR, but which is a really nice guide. So remember, the weekly is at 40.60. So the 2 day is quite a bit tighter than the weekly. Next, moving back to the traditional charts, chart 14, here's the daily chart of the S&P. Again, we're just in a strong uptrend channel from the November lows. You know, we closed down on Friday. Next support is the 20-day moving average. And then below that, you have the uptrend line from the late October lows, in blue. And of course, you have that 42.50 and 50-day moving average below. That's your next supports, guys. Next. Chart 15, here's the equal-weighted S&P 500 chart. So as its name suggests, it weights all the charts in the S&P 500 equally instead of weighting them. You know, for example, the Apple, I can't remember the weighting, but, you know, it's, you know, it might be 10 or 12%, you know, and other stocks are less than a percentage. So, you know, when you look at equal weighted, you can see how this is lagged. You know, it was unable to take out its May highs, have been going sideways, whereas the S&P 500 itself was making new highs. So there was a divergence between the weighted and equal weighted. Basically, you know, negative breath, the larger names have been leading this market where the smaller names have been kind of left behind. Next, chart 16, here's an example of that, the S&P versus the equal weighted. Again, you can see the S&P making higher highs, the equal weighted not, okay? And when that, most of the time, these two move together, but when you have these divergences, then you can lead to some sort of correction and you have that in place here. Next, moving back to the KISS chart. So here's the daily KISS, 42.60 roughly is the DVT. So about 30 points higher than the 2 day. Okay. You can see the BPTMA Deluxe and the ribbons below. BPTMA Deluxe now been red for a couple bars, pinching a little bit into the ribbon. Remember last week I talked about how the ribbons were wide, needed to, you know, needed some sort of contraction. Remember the way these ribbons, if you look at these, tend to go. And it just makes sense. The ribbons contract and then they expand. Contraction, they go through periods of contraction and expansion. When you're in an uptrend, the areas of contraction tend to be buying opportunities. But when the ribbons get, you know, too expanded, you know, they're due for a contraction, and that's kind of what we're getting. Think of that like a reversion to mean. Next, chart number 18. These four images show you the various cycle timeframes from the daily, half day, which is 195 minute, 2 hour, and 60 minute, with these various indicators like the ATR and cycles. So early last week, I talked about these A's showing up on the timeframes and the mark 13 and 9s and saying the market was quite extended due for a pullback. You could see that on the daily. You could see a 13 to mark, an A, that's amateur buying, tends to occur near highs. Amateur buying on 195 minute early last week. And you can see those indeed did indeed produce a pullback, right? Now the daily is still above the ATR. That's your support. The 2 hour chart below, you can see the pullback from the Amateur Bind and DeMarc 9. We're trying to find a little bit of support here. What's important is we got a buy cycle here. We're a little below it, but keep an eye on that. What's really important on the 2 hour right now, guys, is the 60 stochastic. Notice it's nearing that 50% area. It's at 54.49%. I want to see if it can hold that 50% area. Also notice the ribbon there is pinching. The 60 minute to the bottom right has been downtrending for a while. Next. Chart 19, here's the 2 hour time frame. The DVT here was pretty tight last week. That was hit. You can see nice pullback from the Mark 9 below the ATR. Again, what I'm going to kind of follow here is the 60 stochastic. It's near this 50% area, which, you know, is a major support area. Next, moving back to the traditional chart, chart 20, here's the 2 hour time frame. So early last week, we had that ABC pullback into support. Then we rallied up again, made a new high, divergent high. Been pulling back since. You know, we'll see if that, you know, you can see the major supports below. Next, chart 21, here's a 60-minute time frame. So last week, we lost that 2360 area, which became then resistance. There was also an open gap, which we filled. I'll talk about that below. You can see the other supports below, like 4290 and that other uptrend line below. That's at the same spot as the daily. Next, chart 22 is a 60-minute chart. The horizontal lines show you the area where the tick indicator, NYSE tick indicator, spikes above 1,000 and then 1,500. That's the thicker lines. They tend to represent important psychological support resistance areas. So you can see, I also noted some of the dates here when they occurred. You could see them right in the middle of the chart. But you can see we lost that, we stalled at those recent tick extremes over the last couple of weeks, 4389, 4374 last week. We stalled there. We lost that 4339 support. Now, there was an open gap from the 8th, and we filled that on Friday. That was a target. Otherwise, below here, you see 4307 is your next one. And then there's some way down there, 4265. Next, chart 23 is a 15-minute chart. We were showing this last week. This open gap, I said, was a target. A magnet tends to be on these indexes, and that was filled on Friday. Next, chart 24, moving to the NASDAQ. You can see about pullback about 1% last week. We have this big weekly divergence been developing for quite a while. Hell of a run since 2020, quite honestly. Next, chart 25, here's the daily. So we had that divergence on the 5 RSI setting up last week. Finally kicked in on Thursday and Friday. We lost that steep uptrend line. It is quite steep, quite honestly. 20-day moving average below would be your first support. The MACD crossed to the downside. That's a negative. Next, chart 26. Here's the 2 hour time frame with this showing these channels, which we lost last week. Lost it, then back tested as resistance on Thursday. It's sold off on Friday. Next, chart 27. Here's the 60-minute time frame. Mid last week, I was showing a rising wedge on this time frame, and boy, that played out nicely. The horizontal lines below are now your supports. We'll see if they can hold or not. Next, moving to the KISS chart. So chart 28, here's the 2-day KISS for the triple Qs. You can see 344. Nice clean chart. Next, chart 29, here's the daily. 347.60 is the DVT. And you can see where the ATR is below. Remember, the 2-day KISS is 344. Again, look at the BPTMA Deluxe and ribbons below. You can see that area of contraction and expansion. They were the ribbons flipped positive there in May. They had that first contraction. That was a buying opportunity there in early June. And they had this expansion, which got too wide and they induced it for some contraction, reversion to mean, which you're getting now. We'll see if we hold the ATR and DVTs. Next. Chart 30, here's the various cycle time frames. Similar to the S&P, you know, we had the A on the daily. Amateur buying was quite extended. Look at the ribbon, so we're pulling back a little bit. We're still holding the ATR on that and the half-day charts. And I'm going to monitor the 60 stochastics on 120 minute, the bottom left. Next, chart 31, here's the 2 hour time frame. We fell below the DVT on Friday, finally. You can see we pulled back nicely from that DeMarc 9 from early in the week. Again, we've held that DVT for well over a month, so finally broke. What to watch now is the 60 stochastic below, near net 50% support area. Next, chart 32, Russell 2000, down 5% for the week. Heck of a sell-off, testing this trend line here. And we'll see if this can hold this week or not. Next, chart 33, here's the two-day kiss. So we did close a little bit below this two-day DVT, right? Two-day DVT is 215.90. We closed around 214.70, so about a point below it. If you were still in the Russell and, you know, you wanted to give it a little more room, watch that 60 stochastic below. You see it's a little below 50%, but it hasn't confirmed. You need to move a close below Friday's low to confirm it. So it's an area where it could try to recover, so I would watch that. Next, chart 34, here's the daily. So we closed just a slightly below this uptrend line. You can see I also drew a low at the May lows. We're not very far from the 200-day moving average below, quite honestly. That could be a magnet now just because it's so damn close. There's also an open gap from early January, which, you know, if the market has a bigger correction, could be a target over time. Next, chapter 35, here's the 60-minute. There is a slight divergence here, but man, it still looks quite weak. But a little bit of divergence on the MACD. So we'll see what this stuff does this week, guys, with earnings. Now, because we're in earnings season, let's take a look at some of these. So chart 35 is Bank of America. They already reported. They reported on the 14th. And, you know, they really didn't do anything. And they actually beat earnings. So despite beating earnings, they didn't have a positive reaction. All right. So remember, that's why it's going to be important to see the stocks have a positive reaction with earnings these couple weeks instead of something like this. Okay. Next, chapter 37, here's Netflix. This reports on the 20th. So Tuesday. Now, Netflix hasn't been strong like the other FANG stocks. Quite honestly, you know, Disney and some of these others, especially Disney, is just going to have too much power with how much streaming and intellectual property movie studios that it owns. So I think Netflix is going to struggle. Next, chapter 38, Microsoft, they report on the 21st. So on Wednesday, they've been uptrending for quite a long time. Very strong, a little divergence here as of note though. Next, chapter 39, Tesla, you Tesla fans out there. It's been more of a choppy stock, you know, it topped out back in January. And since then, it's just been this chop fest. The bullish view is here, you got an ABC consolidation. Notice your moving average ribbon is pinching, but it needs to curl up here. Okay. I'd like to see it hold this support around 7620. Or again, earnings is on the 21st. We'll see the reaction. Next, chapter 40, Apple. This one reports on the 27th. So not until the following week on Tuesday. There's some recent divergence. It's had quite a run here, so maybe a little pullback pre-earnings wouldn't surprise me. Next, chart 41, there's the weekly view. Again, really nice move out of that big coil. Next, chart 42, Google reports on the 27th as well, just like, you know, Microsoft, it's just been uptrending strongly. Next, chart 43, Facebook reports on the 28th. So it's been uptrending well. Little weakness here short term. Next, chapter 44, Amazon. It's been a strong stock. The little nice pullback last week. Earnings are on the 29th. We'll see if it can find support down here near previous resistance. Turn support. Next, chapter 45, Amazon. Again, it's been in this sideways range for basically a year. It broke out of it, and now it's retesting the top of that range. We'll see if it can find support there or not. Finally, chapter 46, ExxonMobil. So this one reports on the 30th. A lot of these energy names report then. Energy has been downtrending strongly, so we'll see how they react. But again, these aren't for a couple weeks, so they could obviously go much lower before earnings. All right, guys, so that gives you a quick look at some of the major earnings, some of these big names over the next couple weeks. Let's move on to some indicators. Chart 47, the VIX, nice rally up on Friday, as you would expect. We'll see what it does this week. Nice rally, of course, off the lower Bollinger Bands from a couple weeks ago where it found support, where it tends to. Next. Chart 48, here's the VVIX. This went over the 110 area back in early July. That was an early warning, and it's been a good early warning. Next. Some of these indicators that have been showing the divergences and negative breath, you know, I already covered some of them. Here's one, the NYSE common stocks. You can see how it made a lower high and has been downtrending. So basically, it's the big names that have been leading the market. Many of the smaller names have not been participating. Next, chart 50, the NYAD advanced decline issues. You had a divergence here late recently, and that's playing out. Tends to be a powerful indicator. Next, chart 51, the S&P versus the BPSPX. You could see the divergence. And you could see in the past when you had these divergences between the S&P and the BPSPX, you've had corrections. Clearly, we have a nice divergence in place. Next, chart 52, here's the Dow versus the transport Dow ratio. Obviously, this has been downtrending, so Dow theory. All right, guys, so there you go. Let's move on to bonds. Chart 53, TLT, up for the week. It's had a nice rally off that low in March. Next, chart 54, TLT daily, kind of a bull flag that it set up. It's trying to break to the upside. We'll see if it could have another move to the upside. It stalled first that resistance. If it could break through that, the next resistance would be up there around the 153 area. Next, chart 55, here's the 10-year treasury yield. You know, maybe it needs to test this 200-day moving average still or a little below it. I show you the supports below. Next, chart 56, here's the 10-year weekly. I do think this will form a higher low ultimately. But we'll see where it does. I added fibs. So we're right around the 38% fib now. You can see the other fibs below. MACD is still above zero, right? So it could just be recycling, moving average ribbons, pinching. Still has room to go lower, but I do think it will form a higher low ultimately sometime. Next. So final chart, chart 57, J&K high yield corporate. This tends to be correlated with the market. It's been downtrending here. So we'll see where this finds support ultimately. Hey, hold on just a second. Let's do an in-depth look at the individual market sector. So chart 58, this is transports, IYT. Again, you can see they've been downtrending since early May. Big sell-off on Friday. There's a little test in the support here, but it's not much of a support. And you can see next support's below, even the 200-day moving average. As I showed on that Dow theory chart above, the transport Dow ratio, that's been leading. So the transports have been underperforming the Dow quite a bit. And again, it makes obvious sense. The Dow's near the highs. Transports have been downtrending. Next, chart 59, financials going sideways here for the bulls. They need to get above this resistance around that 37 area. But this could also turn into some sort of bear flag and, you know, sell off again. We did bounce off that 35 support in June, but if that were to be lost, if it were to sell off down there again, I think it would break it and you'd be on a path to test the 200-day moving average below. So this looks vulnerable. Next, chart 60, banks. This is also looking vulnerable after stalling at that trend line, downtrend line once again last week, especially if it sells down and loses that lower trend line. That would open up the door for a move down to the 200-day below. Next, chart 61, technology, of course, again, one of the super, super strong sectors. It just closed barely below its 9 EMA on Friday, okay? But again, this is kind of one of the lone wolves in the sectors. A lot have been have been sideways or downtrending, whereas just a couple of these that have been uptrending like this. Again, some of these large cap stocks have been what have been holding up the market. Next, Sharper 62 Semiconductor has been weak lately. It's got a support below here. If that's lost, could move down to the 200-day. Next, Sharper 63 Biotech, you know, been downtrending here. You know, it's still holding those support areas below where it did bounce in May. We'll see if that holds or not. You know, this has been a much weaker sector for many, many months this year, unlike the other market sectors. Next, Sharper 64 Healthcare, been very one another strong sector like technology. Next, Sharper 65 Industrials, going sideways here. I noted major support just below. The bulls need to hold that. Notice the moving average ribbon. I have the box around there. It's super, super tightly pinched. Energy is built up here for a big move. Next, Sharper 66 Materials. This looks vulnerable to me. It looks like a bear flag, quite honestly. Breaking this trend line here would set it on a path down maybe to its 200-day moving average below. Notice the moving average ribbon is bearishly stacked. The 60s period stochastics below is firmly below 50%. Went below there a month ago. Next, Sharper 67, XLP, testing its recent highs here. One of the strong sectors tends to be a bellwether sector. You know, people going to here for safety, and we're seeing that. Next, Sharper 68, utilities, same thing here. Recent strength in utilities, not surprising, breaking out. Next, Sharper 69, the weekly view, had this bull flag we're trying to break out of. Looks bullish. Next, Sharper 70, consumer discretionary, selling off here recently, down below its 20-day moving average now. Had a recent divergence on the RSI. Next, Sharper 71, retail weakness, testing this long-term uptrend line right here. Breaking that could set this off on a steady downtrend. Next, Sharper 72, real estate's been uptrending strongly since March. Keep an eye on this. There is a big MACD divergence developing now. Next, Sharper 73, home builders, sideways chop. I noted major support levels below via the horizontal lines. Next, Sharper 74, oil services. Energy's been downtrending strongly here. Honestly, it looks like it's on move to test its 200-day moving average below. And finally, Sharper 75, here's energy, XLE. I drew this as a rising wedge back in June, and that has been playing out to a T. Major supports are noted below. We could be on a target for that ultimately. So there you go on the sectors, guys. As you can see, under the surface, really only a few sectors are strongly leading here, like technology, healthcare. But there's a lot of sectors that have been downtrending or going sideways. So it's you could really see when you look at the sectors how just a small group of stocks are leading the market. All right, let's move on to commodities. Sharper 76, crude oil, down about 0.5%. Again, it's been uptrending very strongly for quite a long time. There is some recent divergences up here, though. It may need a longer consolidation sometime soon. Actually, this is not crude oil. This is DBC. I'm sorry. This is the commodity ETF. So it may need some more of a, it may need a sideways consolidation chop eventually. That 18 area is big support below. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if this wanted to chop around for a couple months and hold that area just to reset itself. Next, Sharper 77. Here's the daily view of DBC. You got a kind of a coil forming. We'll see which way it breaks in the short term. Next, Sharper 78, crude oil weekly, again, stopped right at that 2018 resistance high. Not surprising. It's got a lot of support below, especially around that 68 area. Next, Sharper 79, daily view of crude oil. The bullish view is here. You got an ABC pullback in place so far. We'll see if it can hold the 50-day moving average on the uptrend line. And of course, that 68 area below is your big support. Next, Sharper 80, natural gas, broke out about a good month or so ago. It's been very strong here. A few dojis here, though, the last few weeks. Next, Sharper 81, here's the daily. Tight coil setting up here. So this is going to have a big pop one way or the other, short in this any day now. Next, Sharper 82, copper. down about 0.5% for the week. This still looks like it needs more consolidation. Had a hell of a run from the March lows to the April highs this year. To me, this looks sort of like a bear flag in a weekly. Next, Trevor 83. Here's the daily view. Next, Trevor 84, DBA, agriculture. The agriculture had a strong week last week. You can see it on the ETF here, up about 3.7%. The bullish view is here. You got a flag forming on the weekly. Next, Trevor 85. Here's the daily. You know, so far we've bounced twice off the 1760 support area. Next, the other, some of these other commodity or these other agricultures, individual ones moved last week big, like corn. See a big rally off that support. Next, Trevor 87, wheat up 12.6% for the week. So big rally for that commodity. Next, Trevor 88, here's the tradable ETF. Wheat daily broke over this downtrend line last week. Next, Trevor 89, coffee. It's had a nice rally the last couple of weeks, approaching this trend line resistance. Next, Trevor 90, there's the weekly view of coffee. Up 6.5% for the week. Kind of has a bull flag look. As you know, it broke out earlier this year from that resistance below. Next, Trevor 91, URA, uranium ETF. This has had a pretty good correction from early June. As you know, I was super bullish on uranium back in December. But, you know, it's had a big run this year. So, to me, it's having a logical consolidation. It may be on path to eventually test that 1850 area or even the 200-day moving average. Those would probably be long-term buying opportunities. Next. Trevor 92, here's the weekly chart. Again, look at this weekly chart. You can see how it broke out basically in November last year over this weekly downtrend line, started this momentum uptrend move. You know, it got very overbought back in early June, and it's been pulling back since. So, you know, again, it looks like a bull market to me, right? Clearly, it's having a pullback in the long-term uptrend. 38% fib is a little bit lower below. Again, that's a normal pullback in a bull market. Finally, Trevor 93, here's the monthly chart. You know, it broke out of this multi-year base back in December last year. And so now it's having a pullback. So these long-term moving averages below would be your long-term support. That would represent a decent buying opportunity again. Next, Trevor 94, lumber. So this is kind of interesting, guys. Look at this correction in lumber from the May highs. You know, right now, lumber would need to rally over 320% to get back to those highs. That gives you an idea how far this correction is. This looks like a five-wave downtrend. There is some MACD divergence down here. There's some long-term supports down here around 500 and around 450. We'll see if it could bounce from. But this is a hell of a correction. But the reason why this is important is if you go to Lowe's and Home Depot, lumber prices are still sky high. But remember, that stuff lags, and this is the commodity itself. So I think we're seeing a lot of futures traders sensing a longer-term slowdown coming, and they've been front-running selling lumber futures. Basically, I guess what I'm getting to is that this sell-off in lumber futures may be foretelling of a future decent correction in some of these commodities and maybe the market, you know, with asset prices. You know, asset prices of everything have been up, you know, from, you know, lumber to used cars to home prices to whatever. And so this is kind of interesting to me. All right, so that does it, commodities. Let's move on. Let's look at some cryptocurrencies. Trevor 95, Bitcoin, had a tight little coil last week, broke down a little bit. Again, hasn't had a thrust move down. Like I said, it's kind of in this, there's a big support range down here. It's been trying to base for the last couple months. We'll see if it can hold up in here. Big supports that 29, 28,000. Next. As far as some of the major stocks, they've had pretty good corrections here, like Mara. It's now approaching its 200-day moving average. We'll see if it can try to bounce off that or not. Next, Charber 97 Riot, same deal. It's also come down to its 200-day moving average. All right, let's move on. Charber 98, U.S. dollar. This is the monthly chart. So far for the month, it's up about 0.25%. Long-term support was around that 88 area. We didn't quite make it down there, but we held it. Next. Charber 99, here's the weekly chart, up 0.6%. Notice the downtrend line here. It's testing. Had a nice double bottom down there in late May, early June. Next. Charber 100, U.S. dollar daily. Kind of a pennant setting up here. Next. Charber 101, FXE Euro ETF weekly. We've been showing this potential head and shoulder pattern, and boy, it still looks like it. If this were to bust down, the dollar would rally, and that wouldn't be good for gold, quite honestly. Next, let's move to gold and precious metals. So Charber 102, gold weekly, up 0.25%. You know, had a big correction last year, had a low there at around the 1670 area. Earlier this year, rallied up to 1900s, pulled back, bounced. The weekly is kind of just a chop fest here. We'll see if they can form a, you know, higher low here, if it's going to begin another downtrend. Next. Charber 103, here's the daily chart. So the upper trend line, that goes to the July highs of last year, connects the June highs. The lower trend line connects the June highs and the April lows. So kind of a big coil. We bounced off that support a couple weeks ago. We're stalling here at the 50 and 200-day moving averages. This looks like an area to pull back from. The gold stocks continue to lead down. You can see it on a ratio. The gold bugs really need to, you know, for the gold bugs, you really don't want to see gold go down and take out that uptrend line. That would not be good. Next. Charber 104, silver, this looks weaker, down 1.7% for the week. It's been in this big 8-point range, quite honestly, for the last year. Next, Charber 105, here's another weekly chart, could also be forming a coil. Next, Charber 106, silver on the daily. It's had this kind of bear flag look. It's starting to try to break down here again. Next. Moving to the stocks, we're just going to look at ETF here, Charber 107 GDX. So GDX had a nice rally early this year off that big support, around 31, stalled at that 61.8% Fib in May, and it's had a good sell-off since. Now the moving average ribbon, you can see it's pinching from the bullish configuration, so the bulls need to defend it here. Next. Charber 108, here's the daily. Boy, the daily looks ugly. This looks like a bear flag, quite honestly. So this could easily break down again, guys. Does not look pretty at all. Next, Charber 109, here's the two-hour time frame. It stalled at that 35 resistance last week. I note the support's below the horizontal line. So there you go, guys. Gold stocks don't look too hot. We'll see how what they do this week. Now, finally, let's move to trade ideas. First off, we'll cover a few from last week. Again, as I stated, there's been a drought of good long setups, and that's been worrying about the market. There's just not any good setups showing up. So chart number 110, JBGS, this was a long idea of mine last weekend through 32. It gave a trade. It then pulled back. It gave you a second opportunity on that resistance retest at 32 and rallied up. So this was actually a good little long trade we had. Next, Charber 111 Costco. It's been a heck of a move out of that coil. If anyone still owns it, you can simply trail up your stop of the 9 EMA there. Next, as far as other setups, by far, we've had some really good short ideas here. You know, so VET was a short idea a couple weeks ago. Look how well it's played out from that coil break. Next, Charber 113 C's. This was also a great short in June. Back test that trend line. Rejection. It's now coiling again. It could easily break down again. Next, Charber 114 Cure. This was also a nice short from early June. Continues lower. Next. Charber 115, AAZZF, one of the special or speculative situation stocks, had that nice run up in early June to the four range, pulled back. It did find support over the last week, trying to curl up here. MACD's trying to curl up. We'll see if it can go. Remember, long term, we really like this one, you know, but it's going to take a long time for it to play out. You know, I'm waiting now for this to get on the NASDAQ. Next. Charber 16, Rafa, here's another speculative one we kind of like. Again, it's still OTC. It's had a heck of a correction. It's honestly good value down here. They actually have a PE ratio of like 9 or something. I mean, what? How many biotechs do you know make money that are trading $1.50? So they're waiting to get an audit done. That's still probably not going to be for another month or two. But once they can get that, that'll really be beneficial. Next, Charber 117, ASPS. I'll follow up on this one from a couple weeks ago. It had that really good rally up to the 200-day moving average. Pulled back to the 8 area, bounced, formed a lower high, has sold off again. It looks like an ABC correction here. Moving average ribbon is now pinching. You know, the moratorium on foreclosures is set to expire at the end of this month. Now, if the COVID lockdowns start again, honestly, I could see, you know, that not occurring, but we'll see. Unfortunately, this thing is still, even under the bullish case, it still is in this C correction, which still could go lower, guys, maybe even down to the 50-day moving average. Next, Charber 18, here's the 60-minute. I don't like the 60 here. If it breaks this trend line here, this could easily fall down to that, you know, 730, 740 range or the 7 range. Now, the 7 range, I think it would be a heck of a buy again, but, you know, just be aware, guys, if you have some shares, decide if you want to stop out and just try to buy it again or hold it. That's up to you. Next, following up on some of these dividend plays, a lot of these go ex-dividend this week, like PFFA goes ex-dividend on the 20th, so that's a Tuesday. It's been holding up pretty well here. Next, Charber 120, AMZA. This one goes ex-dividend on the 21st, so that's a Wednesday. Heck of a correction. Now, with this correction, it may be more attractive down in here, especially near that 25 area. You may be able to get a lower risk buy on it and then get the dividend. Next, Charber 121, Main Street, another monthly dividend play. This one goes ex-dividend on the 28th. Next. Charber 122, PAGP, this is another dividend play, goes ex-dividend on the 29th. Had a big correction here. Now, there is some support here. If it tries to bounce in here, I may take some. Or, you know, otherwise, you know, if it were to go down to the 200-day moving average or near that, it would be more attractive as well, okay? Again, I don't just buy these because of the dividend, guys. I want to see some sort of, you know, trigger on the chart. This is near a support. Next. Looking at some other charts, Charber 123, Fold, it's a biotech. Could be a lower risk down here. It's near this long-term basing support, trying to break a little trend line here. Next, Charber 124, OXLC, new idea. Resistance is the 759 area. Next, Charber 125, KYMR, kind of a wedge pattern. Notice the volume patterns. Trigger over today's highs, stop at that recent lows. And finally, Charber 126 Sear. This could go either way. It could be a long over this downtrend line in the channel, 50-day moving average if we can get over that. Or it could be a short if it were to reverse down and break that support. So that's all the longs I could find, guys. Just a few. So still a drought of long setups. All right, guys. That does it. Have a wonderful rest of your Sunday and take care.